Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the El Paso Conservative. I hope all of you listening have had a great weekend. You've got some rest. You actually did the things that you wanted to do over the weekend, and you weren't, like me, schlepping all over work, doing things, and being an adult, as some of you kids would say. Today, we're going to be talking about my very first experience with what I will politely call political bullshit being taught at the University of Texas at El Paso. Now, this is going to be a full disclaimer for all of you out there who are listening, who are within the city, and for those of you who are not from the city that are still listening, thank you very much for tuning in. But I do not think that all professors who teach at the university have a political bias when they are instructing or when they are teaching their students. I know a lot of great professors who are teaching political science whose political beliefs are there, but they don't interfere with the lesson and what, you know, the structure of the lesson and the structure of the facts and things of that nature. But the one that I will be talking about sure as fuck had a political bias. So what you may be thinking, okay, well, what is it? Is it like presidency class? Is it American Freedom class? Well, you'd be close. It's Western Heritage. And it really sounds like an interesting topic now, doesn't it? You delve into the ancient world of Greece to discover the model of democracy. Or perhaps studying the ancient Romans to understand the complexity of the Republic on which our country was founded on. You see, if that sounds interesting to you, sure as hell sounded interesting to me. That's really what drew me to this course. I like history. I'm a huge history buff. Trademark. I enjoy reading history, and I would have really liked to see how we as a society have progressed from the ancient ways of thinking, the ancient philosophy until now, and how that really transformed the way that the founders saw freedom, how they saw democracy, how we ended up becoming the greatest democracy in the world and the greatest republic in the world, because let's face it, we're both a republic and we're a democracy. But that's a debate for a different time. So our story begins here, where we begin studying the ancient texts of the ancient Greeks. And actually, this happened, give or take a couple hours before I started recording this. So, the text in question is the Athenian Constitution, written by Aristotle. Now, just to give you a little bit of context to what the Athenian Constitution is, it's more of a running tally of sorts of the different systems of government that were used throughout the Greek city-state model. Now, you may be thinking, well, what is a running tally? Well, a running tally is basically keeping track of what worked and what didn't work. When you begin to study a little bit more about the presidency, and a running tally becomes something different. A running tally becomes a measure of a president's successes and failures. But in the context of the discussion that we are currently, on at the moment, the running tally will be kind of what worked and what didn't work in ancient Greece. Now, this work is said to have taken place between the 7th and 8th century BCE, before Common Era. And it is also believed to have been written by one of Plato's students. I'm sorry, Aristotle's students. I was getting, wrong Greek, man. It was supposed to have been written by Aristotle, but many historians believe that it was written by a student of Aristotle. Who that student is lost to history, really, and that's unfortunate. But, we still have this work. But if you would like to dwell more on democracies, what worked, what didn't work, the tyrannies of certain kings, or the tyranny of certain leaders in the Greek city-states, I'd highly recommend you go and check out the Athenian Constitution. Anyways, in this text, Aristotle chronicles the different governments of city-states in Greece. And, as we discussed before, and he also establishes the fundamental model for democracy, the fundamental idea of democracy. Now, this idea is simple. It simply states that all free citizens can be ruled and therefore can rule. Now, if this seems familiar to any of you listening out there, that's because that is the fundamental principle of democracy. Now, I know what you may be thinking. Okay, it sounds simple enough. But why are you making an entire episode on something, you know, that we all know? Well, that's simple. And it's a lesson that I learned today, and it was heavily, heavily reinforced today. The left doesn't like to hear the truth that democracy is inherently the best of man's creations. Now, what are you talking about? Well, if we put it in the context of what's going on right now, you look at the presidential candidates on the Democratic side, you have Creepy Joe, and you have an old communist. So, you know, really, they don't, right there, like, just knowing that Bernie Sanders is a legitimate candidate for office, again, shows that people don't understand, first of all, economics, and second of all, the fundamental principle of democracy that he is trying to overthrow. Now, for those of you who aren't very familiar with socialism or communism, which is its root where it gets its inspiration from, but Karl Marx did say that socialism is the first stage to full communism, so it's communism by extension, by the man who wrote the theory himself. Anyways, that's not what I'm talking about here. But for those of you who are unaware, you know, of what Bernie really wants to do, he really wants to just take everything away from everything. Private property, can't do that. Your own money, you can't do that. It all goes to the state. It all goes to the government. If we were to give an example here, your freedoms, your liberties, granted by God through the Constitution, granted by God, enshrined in the Constitution, gone. You know, that's what he wants to do. And that violates the principle of what a democracy is. Those who can be ruled can also rule, meaning that it applies to all free men and women in a nation. It applies to all free citizens in a nation. And why is this so controversial, you may add? Well, because nobody wants to hear that. Everyone wants to be victimized, so much so that they tend to ignore this fundamental principle of democracy. And I saw it with my own two eyes today. I saw an older gentleman, my professor, who I will not name for confidentiality reasons, but I saw him apologize for democracy, saying that this was a product of its time and that we should only focus on it in that way, which is preposterous when you think of the ramifications that means, or the ramifications of such decision. If we were to say that all great works were only a product of their time, that is not only an insult to history, but that is to say that everything that humanity has gone through and has published, the great works, mean nothing. It was a product of their time. Dante's Inferno, the Odyssey. You want to talk about other literature, you know, Dracula, Frankenstein, were all product of their times, and they don't mean anything. I don't know about you, but when I look at things that I never want to forget, it's a fundamental principle of democracy. Because when you forget the fundamental principle that all citizens can be ruled and can rule, is the day that you ignore the fundamental principle of which our country was founded on. Now, to go on with the discussion, I said, because I did read the Athenian Constitution, and my explaining of it, or my explanation of it, was that it showed a ray of hope that all things, and during that time, you know, led to this moment of realization. And you mean you're talking about realization? Well, it leads to the realization that even though things were, to put it mildly, messed up in a civilization, they still understood the basic principle. One that was, that will continue to live on even after most of us have gone. You know, all free citizens can be ruled and therefore can rule. That is to say that, well, I could continue my discussion. That is to say that this fundamental principle going throughout the years, during the Magna Carta, writing down the Magna Carta, to the enshrining of it in the Declaration of Independence, to the enshrinement of it in the Constitution, means that it is a fundamental principle when we talk about not only the founding of this great nation, but the founding of the idea that democracy is what everyone should aim for. And of course, you know, most people laughed at that. Most people on the left will say, no, 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 democracy is not what America was founded on. America was founded on racism, sexism, and all the isms. And, you know, I had a debate with a gentleman in that class who basically said that argument that, you know, everything was founded on racism and sexism and that free citizens only apply to very few. And I said, well, if you look at it within the context of it, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right that the Constitution was written for all men to be created equal. And they did enshrine that through the Bill of Rights. And yeah, you're right that in the Declaration of Independence, we said, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and are endowed with certain unalienable rights. And I told him, to say that it is because of racism that this country was founded, you completely ignore history. You completely ignore the war that we fought for our independence. You completely ignore the rebuilding of this country. Because this country could have easily have turned into a monarchy. Easily. But our founders knew that monarchy leads to tyranny. So therefore, they constructed a new government, one that would be by the people, for the people. And to say that, you know, we built this country out of racism? Racism, no, it's not racism. It's a fundamental principle that all free citizens can be ruled and can rule. That is why we have a representative in Congress and we have two senators in the Senate. So our voices can be heard. But the left, they don't want that. You know, they don't want everyone to know that. Because the minute that you understand that the very foundation, the very principle of democracy is under attack, there goes their grip on the whole narrative. There goes Bernie Sanders in entirety. Because his pitch, his cling to fame, is that he's a communist. That's it. He hasn't done shit, he hasn't said anything revolutionary, and he sure as shit hasn't accomplished anything in Congress for the past 30-odd years that he's been in there. So what is Bernie's only pitch? Eat the rich. And that rhymed. I'm a poet and I didn't know it. But his only pitch to the American people is, I will tax the fuck out of you, and I will tax the fuck out of the wealthy, and I will give you free shit. That's his pitch to the American people. But if they really understood, if the average American were to fully understand that Bernie Sanders and the Socialist Democratic Party is an attack on the very principle of which this country was founded on, yeah, you bet your ass it'd be a fucking sweeping re-election of Donald Trump. Most likely to the effect of Ronald Reagan when he ran again for president. But they don't. You will never see that on the news. You'll never hear somebody else say that. You know, it's always going to be somebody somewhere in the the deep corner of the internet, like me, who's going to be telling you that? Who's going to be telling you that the Democratic Party has moved so far to the left, they might as well be gagging on Stalin schlong? I mean, that's the truth. I mean, Bernie Sanders may as well be making out with the wax dummy in Red Square of Vladimir Lenin. I mean, for all I know, he does. You know, I'm not here to point fingers at somebody. I really ain't here to debate that. But most likely. But that's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. You have to be conscious of what all these policies being proposed actually mean and what they actually do. Because I bet all of you out there have not really thought about Bernie Sanders in the way that I have today. Now, that is not to say that many of you have not thought of him as a communist, because that's plain as fucking day to see. What I meant was his brazen attack on the very principle of democracy. Which, I mean, really, if you're a communist, I guess it was kind of, you know, easy to see, but, you know, some people don't really catch it until it's too late. But I got shot down. The answer that I gave in that class was completely wrong, and I don't understand why. Is it such a crime now, or is it such, I should say, is it such a brazen disregard for the institution that I speak the truth? Is it such an offense to revisionist leftist history that I state that the United States of America was founded on the principles of every man, every free citizen, every free citizen can be ruled and therefore can rule? Is it such a crime for me to say that the United States was founded on the facts of all men were created equal? Because it seems like that's what it is now. Like, I can't even say the fundamental truth anymore. If you can't even say the fundamental truth anymore, like, what can you say? Luckily, there were some people in the room who actually agreed with me, although there were a few and far between. Most of them were drinking the Jonestown Kool-Aid, if to give an analogy appropriate. Well, not really appropriate, but if we're going to have an analogy nonetheless, they would be drinking the Jonestown Kool-Aid of the left. And that's really a shame, because what happens when they go out into the real world and they become academics in their field? And most of the students that I've taken class with, you know, their major is political science. So what happens when all these political scientists get out there with this leftist agenda? I mean, that's not to say that I don't have a bias. I called the El Paso conservative for a reason. There's an obvious bias, you know, towards the Republican Party. But there comes a time where even the most biased leftist has to see that we no longer are interested in the facts. We're only interested in the spin. And the worst part is that when a Republican does that, he's called out on it. If he's wrong, he gets called on it and his career is ruined. But if a leftist Democrat said that, you know, they would revise history just to be right. And I'll give you an excellent point from that discussion where we're talking about how females were depicted in history. And, you know, it's no secret women weren't treated nicely by ancient men in the ancient world. I mean, we know that. It's documented. There's no speculating on that. But our conversation went on to modern politics. And they, I don't know their name, and I'm kind of glad that I don't. But someone had said the only reason that Hillary Clinton lost was because she was a woman, which I call bullshit on. The reason Hillary Clinton lost because she was the most unelectable candidate ever. She was corrupt to the bone. She had a huge scandal going into the 2016 election. You know, she paid for opposition research to spy on, you know, the opposition candidate. there was, she was a big old ball of corruption. And not to mention the fact that the public has already had enough of her. You know, Donald Trump was the population's answer to Hillary Clinton. You know, they were so tired of this shit that they elected Trump to say, you know what, we're not going to take this anymore. And I mean, look at where we're at now. We're at a much, much better place. Economically, all of us are, anyways. But that's not what we're talking about. See, the revisionist left would like you to believe that all Trump voters in the 2016 election are sexist, because it's easier for them to portray us as racist, when in reality, we're none of those things. None of those things whatsoever. You'd be surprised on a regular day how many times I get called a racist, sexist, homophobe, you know, all that. All the word gumbo the left likes to spew about all the time because of it. Two Republicans, I should say. And it's nonsense. It's hardcore nonsense when they revise history. It's one thing for a politician to revise history, but it's a whole different ball game when a professor of Western heritage decides to rewrite history in support of a political narrative. That is an injustice to not only myself as a student who is paying for that class, but for everyone else who was taking that class as well, because we did not sign up for a politically filtered Western heritage class. We signed up for a Western heritage class where we learn how we got to be the United States of America and how the idea of democracy evolved from the ancient Greeks up until now. But we don't get that. What we get, oh, well, these men were racist and sexist, so therefore their great ideas don't mean anything. Preposterous, really. You can say that about everybody. That doesn't make their ideas, the great ideas, wrong. Just because Thomas Jefferson had a bunch of slaves does not mean that the idea of all men are created equal does not ring true. Just because George Washington had slaves does not mean that the principle of all men are created equal are gone. It doesn't exist. That is to say that when Aristotle said those free citizens can be ruled and therefore can rule, meant exactly that. All free citizens can be ruled and therefore can rule, which is why democracy has endured for thousands of years. That's why a republic has stood for thousands of years. And I'm just talking about real world examples. And think about it as, you know, as a theory, as an ideology. Democracy always seems to be the strongest case. Not a monarchy, or even though monarchies were prevalent during those times and even up to the 17 and 1800s. Well, in England's case, all the time, because, you know, England's England and we don't really talk about England anymore. Last time I had to talk about England was 1776. Anyways, a little bit of humor for you on the show. But that's the thing. Democracy will endure as long as we, the people, remember the founding principle. All free citizens can be ruled and can rule. And they're not, you can't have one without the other. A free citizen can be ruled over, but in return, the free citizen can rule, meaning that there is a direct representation of the will of the free citizen and the representative. That is why republics and democracies have lasted the test of time. That's why the United States of America is 200 plus years old at this point, because we've been able to realize that free citizens can govern and be governed. That's why we choose the president. That's why we choose our senators. That's why we choose our representatives. And just one, before we go ahead and end things, I'll just go ahead and wrap it up here. The professor said that Hillary Clinton actually won the election and that she's rightfully the President of the United States. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard right. He was referring to the popular vote, which in the United States is about as useful as aluminum foil around a baked potato. But see, that's the revisionist history that I was telling you about. You know, they believe that Trump is an illegitimately elected president and that the election was illegitimate. So they recognize Hillary Clinton as their president. And this all ties into impeachment somehow, but I'm kind of bored of that, seeing it all the time. So I'm not even going to bore you guys with it, because I'm pretty sure you guys have seen plenty on your own, and you don't really need my analysis on that. But before we go, before we end things off here, just want to go ahead and let you guys know that our primary for the Republican Party here in El Paso is drawing soon. I believe it's in March. It's when we start doing the primaries. So if you guys aren't already registered to vote, go out and get registered to vote. Let's see what we can do to make El Paso red. Because I don't know about any of you who are within the city who are tired of Escobar and O'Rourke. You better go out. You better try to flip the city red. I'll go ahead and do my best to keep all of you informed on the candidates that are running. And I may even have one of them on the show, or a couple of them on the show, so they can go ahead and make their direct plea to their constituents. Because who wouldn't like that? We have, at least where I'm centrally located, we have two districts, Texas District 16 and Texas District 23. And all of these current candidates will be vying for office. I may, you just might have a couple of them on the show to talk to about their ideas and what they want to do while they're in Congress. And I may even have a couple of their campaign staff on as well as the primary gets closer and closer. But ladies and gentlemen, that is all for me today. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. If you guys could do me a huge favor, go ahead, hit that like button, or go ahead and favorite it, and go ahead and, you know, share it with your friends. Share it with all of those who really need to hear that in our college system, in our university system, I should say, especially here in Texas, we are losing the fundamental principle of democracy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for sitting through about 28 minutes or so of my rant. Hope you guys have a good day, and I'll see you guys later. This has been the El Paso Conservative.